Our scripture reading today is John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Jesus changes water into wine. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus said, and his disciples were also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not come yet." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jugs, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial cleaning, washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from. They knew who the water drew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." When Jesus did hear in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Methodist men, for helping out this morning and doing some different things. Thank you for sharing some of the spotlight with United Women in Faith, so that they can talk through some of their accomplishments and some of the good things, and having them both up here kind of plays into what I'm going to talk about a little bit today. What we're talking about today is we're talking about our lectionary gospel passage. The lectionary is what we're in until Easter, a little different for me. This is my first time to kind of do lectionary preaching. And so you can follow along if you'd like. I do read the lectionary every week. You can too. In the bulletin, those passages are shared for the scripture readings for the week, and it follows the Christian seasons. And so moving from the season of Advent to the season of Easter. Today we're talking about John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Jesus changes water into wine. Random thing about this little, about actually the Gospel of John. I didn't even know I ran into this in a commentary. The mother of Jesus in the Gospel of John is never named. Yeah, they never call her Mary. They never say Mary, the mother of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, she is just referred to as the mother of Jesus. I got onto my computer. I did a little word search in John for Mary, and Mary pops up, but not as in relationship to Jesus' mother. So kind of an interesting thing. She's always referred to as the mother of Jesus, which is meant as a title of prominence, right? Like it is meant to be shared as a good thing. Like this is the mother of Jesus. And so the mother of Jesus and the disciples, they are at a wedding that they've been invited to. And at the wedding they've been invited to, they run out of wine. No more wine. Now, this could be embarrassing. Right? Like, think about it from your perspective and having this big party and this big celebration, and this could be embarrassing. And none of us like to be embarrassed. It's why we don't like to public speak, which I get, because of that fear of embarrassment, you know, in that space. We don't like to be embarrassed. And so Jesus' mom turns to Jesus and says, "Son, do something about this." Right? Like, do something about this problem. To which Jesus basically says, "No, Mom," right? I mean, more or less says no. He first says, what bother of this is mine? Like, first of all, why would I get involved in this? Second of all, he says, and it's not really my time yet, Mom. Like, there's a timing in this. The Father has revealed to the Son what the timing of this is. I don't feel that this is proper timing to perform this miracle. Now, Jesus' mom, it's an interesting response. I guess it shouldn't surprise us. There's no discussion. There's no, well, son. There's no argument. Well, now, son. And there's no persuasion. Well, son, like if we, right? There's none of that. Mom tells the servants, come here. Do what he says. Right? Like, my son will take care of this for you. You just do what he says. Now, this is grown man Jesus at this point in the story, right? This is not little kid Jesus. This is not baby Jesus. This is grown man Jesus. What does grown man Jesus do? What mama says. Grown man Jesus caves and does what mama says. And so what do? He tells his servants, there's some large containers over there. Go fill those large containers with water. They pour some water in there, and it sits. I don't know if he blesses it. I don't know if he mumbles over it. I don't know what he does. But then he just says, hey, take some. We don't know what kind of containers. They take some other smaller containers. They take it over. They fill them up out of these jugs that they had. They take it over to the master of the banquet. The master of the banquet tries what's been poured out of these canisters, and it is really good wine. Like, this is good stuff, better than the first stuff. So the party is saved. It's saved. People are impressed with the parents of the bridegroom, right? Because it even says that the master of the party, he doesn't know where it came from. He didn't know Jesus did this thing. He just knew that this wine is better than the other wine. And so that's what the people at the party know. Now, when we read the story, we're readers. We're reading the story of the Gospel of John, of who Jesus is. And what we know as readers of the story is that this miracle was the first sign. It was the first sign of the prominence of Jesus and what Jesus has come to do. Was it supposed to be the first sign? I don't think so. I don't think so. Jesus said, Mom, not my time yet. Not time to do these things. What part of their issue is my problem, Mom? Right? And Mama says, son, make it your time. Make it your problem. Do something about this. Doesn't this sound like a really mama, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, every mom in this room is like, yeah. That's right, that's what he's doing. And this is Jesus we're talking about. It's not a conversation with Peter or Paul or John. This is this fully human, fully God Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Jesus initially says, Mom, not my circus, not my monkeys. Is that a saying at your house? I got to admit, it's a saying at our house. Not my circus, not my monkeys. That's what we say it, right? Jesus basically says, he says, Mom, why? Why would we get involved in this? What concern is this of ours? And so we live in a day and an age where it is easy not to get involved in anything. I mean, you just don't have to. It's very easy. It's very justifiable. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family or your flock or your closest friends or, like, take care of those folks. And it is really easy not to make time for anything else, because who has time for anything else? Because we're so busy doing all the things. All the things, you're managing your money, like that takes a certain amount of time. You're managing your social media presence. I know we're all heavily involved with social media presence here, right? You're managing your calendar. You're managing your activities. You're managing your friendships. Those take time. Doctor's appointments, your health. Thanks, Marcia. Marcia's like, don't forget that one. Got it. You're managing your social activities, you're managing your vacations. That takes time to figure out. And the doctor's visits before the vacations and the doctor visits after the vacations. Yeah. And God knows you've earned it. You've earned the right to do those things and to manage those things and to have those opportunities. You do you, right? You do you. You know, 20, 30 years ago, we would have called that kind of life, we would have said, well, that's self-absorbed. And today we say that's living the dream. You're living the dream if you get to do all those things, spend all your time doing all those things. Today we heard both from United Methodist Men, we heard from United Women in Faith. Both those organizations were founded upon a model called society groups, society clubs, right? And so other society clubs, Rotary, Lions Club, Masons, Eastern Star, like if you're a part of Eastern Star, Kiwanis, I mean Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Scouts is somewhat based upon some of that society model, right? Very popular, started within our nation within the 19th century, really blossomed in the 20th century, still very present within our nation. You know, there are still many of these societies operating today, doing their thing, though not as popular as they once were, right? They've struggled, and a lot of them have struggled. And, you know, I'm part of Rotary, and we're pleased that Rotary is our Rotary here in town is one of the largest Rotaries in the entire region. And we're often told that, right? Because they've gotten smaller. And these organizations, they tend to be highly organized. Highly organized. Like you heard that from Carla, like this person does this and this and this and all of these different things. So they tend to be highly organized and elected officials and agenda-oriented meetings and bylaws and named values and trying to live into those values, which we're doing as a church too, right? I mean, this model should not be far from us. Like we should all be very familiar with this model. And while America was growing, America became affluent, and we as Americans became more affluent, and society groups helped keep communities focused on benevolent causes, things outside of ourselves, that we would rally together, that we would be about these things. And so we focused on values and advocacy, advocating for others, and action as a result of advocacy, things that we will do to help others. And we call this today social action. And within the church, we even penned a new word not too long ago. And the word was social gospel. Social gospel, that these beliefs, this salvation, this understanding of Jesus would lead us to bring about different things within our communities, within the world, right? And so we believe this, therefore we will help in this way. Right? It's gonna create some doing here. Now, and along with a whole lot of other components around being highly, highly organized. Most of these groups highly organized. And I believe society groups and churches, right? Because a lot of these society groups have Christian values. They learn these things in their churches and mobilized in community action ways. Were the backbone of character and community development for our nation. And we live in a day and an age where we have society groups, and we're still a part of society groups. But I believe a new social structure has emerged, right? A new thing has come forth, and it's called social media, right? And social media presence. Doing good in society groups, it looks like advocacy combined with organized action. Once again, we believe this, we advocate for this, therefore we're gonna do this thing. In social media, the primary concern is generally about advocacy. Finding voice. What is your voice? Share your voice. And there's power in that. There is, right? Instead of electing officers and bylaws and values, there are likes. Right? Like what you do on social media gets likes. If you have a tremendous amount of likes, then you're what is called an influencer. And you become an influencer. And influencers get paid money. Lots of money. big money. Not all of them, but some of them. That's a full-time job, being an influencer. And they're on YouTube has these folks, and TikTok has these folks. Oh, wait. Does TikTok have these folks? I don't know anymore of TikTok. I guess we'll know Monday. You know, the worst thing about TikTok getting possibly shut down that I'm really upset about is that I never actually got a chance to open an account. Right? Like, dang it. I missed my window. Right. Maybe not. We'll see tomorrow. We'll see what happens tomorrow, right? Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, all of them have their influencers that get paid in order to be influential, to draw crowd to their platform, right? And all have found ways, all these different social media, they've found ways to monetize people with voice, right? And so they know they can make money with these people with voice. So really the companies they gain as more people go to, you know, whatever it is, Facebook or YouTube, in order to hear these people. And then the individual gains, like the company kicks back to the individual who helps build up their platform. Now, example of this, perhaps you saw this week how Kim Kardashian advocated for incarcerated firefighters in California. Now, maybe you saw that because you follow Kim Kardashian on TikTok. Any takers? Or maybe you listen to the news like me and you heard it on the news and went, oh, okay, this thing is happening, right? And so, but this is something I didn't know, like until Kim Kardashian said something about this. I didn't realize that there were incarcerated people that were actually working as firemen and firewomen who, you know, are paid less, but therefore get this opportunity to be out of prison and working in this way. And like, I just didn't know all of that until Kim Kardashian said, this thing's happening and it's an absolute travesty, right? And so here she is, a social media influencer. She is advocating for people. She is creating some commotion, possibly some change. I don't know, like, if she financially gained from saying those things. Like, I would imagine it drew more attention to what she was saying. You know, people like, oh, I got to go check this out. I don't know. Let's hope not. I don't know all the ins and outs of incarcerated firefighters. Like, that was new to me. And so I've heard people say on one side, yeah, it is a travesty. And I've heard people say on the other side, well, no, this is actually a pretty good program for them. So I don't know. I can't really judge that. I don't know her motives. I mean, it seems to fall in line with some other things the Kardashians have done. But I don't know, like, how much fell into the bank account and if that even, she even pays attention to that. I don't know. All I know is that she advocated for someone else. She advocated. And friends, it's much harder in the world today to show concern for other people in social media. Like, it's harder. See, the society model that we heard from today and that we're all a part of in different ways in our community, it's less convoluted to advocate, to demonstrate concern, to mobilize action. We're primarily group-oriented, right? These groups all get together, and they have these conversations, and they do these things. And sometimes the paper shows up. It's like, oh, wow, you know, United Methodist Men, United Women in Faith, like they did this thing, and we're going to come get pictures of it, and we put it on our social media page. That's like, for social, our social media comes afterwards. But for the social media model, it's kind of convoluted. And it's kind of convoluted because someone is always opposing what seems to be a good thing, right? And there may be something gained by it. Like, we don't always know. And so here's what I think. I think we should have a certain amount of compassion for younger people today. I mean, I think we should have a lot of compassion for the types of scenarios that they find themselves in. Because in the social media world, there's always a hater, there's always an antagonist, and there are always these, I'm going to give you some lingo here, you ready? There's always a troll, right? Social media troll, somebody's just looking around, just wanting to, like, you know, give somebody a hard time. There's always a troll. And there's an additional challenge. And the additional challenge is to move beyond the screen, right? So this advocacy, it's good, but it's also good to move beyond the screen and move towards action in your life. To, because you believe this, to do something about it, right? And this happens, like I see it happen. Social media mobilizes sometimes. They activate people to do things. So it happens, but a lot of times it doesn't. Like just advocating is where it stops. So in the same way, Mary, the mother of Jesus, encouraged him to make Jesus make their issue your issue. We encourage one another to advocate and take action. Advocate for others, take action. Trust the voice of God to lead you and to direct you. Pay attention to the environment around you. Pay attention at school and at work and in the grocery store and in your community of what is happening. Pay attention where people are trying to escape a bad situation, but they want out of it, but they lack power or direction or means. And you have power or direction and means, right? Now, what's hard is when someone's scenario looks really bad to you. Like you think this looks really bad, but they don't want to escape it. Right? They're just not ready to escape it. Some have found contentment within those scenarios. They're content with it. You wouldn't be, but they are. And sometimes there's learned helplessness. That's a horrible phrase. When I heard that phrase, I was like, oh. But it's true, sometimes we learn helplessness. And they've learned helplessness. There's nothing I can do. This is just my plight. This is just my life. And so I want to just offer a little bit of warning as we talk about this today. And the warning is that if you care about something, somebody else's dire scenario more than they do, then perhaps you should reconsider that effort. I say that very carefully, but that can be hard, right? And sometimes it's about timing. It's just really about timing and people. That's what I've learned as I've been in this my whole career, and I've worked with a lot of people, and there's been some times where it's helped and sometimes it happened. What I've noticed is that there's a timing in people's lives. You know, Jesus didn't come in, he didn't walk into the party and assess the wine. He didn't go, I'm looking at the wine, I'm looking at the people, there's not enough here, let's do this thing. Nor did he wait till the end of the party. He didn't wait till everybody left and then go, oh my gosh, we didn't have enough wine. Now I'm going to make some wine and get this party. Well, no, you can't. Everybody left. Right? There was a moment. There was a moment when the wine was running out. People are still congregating. They're still visiting. And it was Mama who likely saw stuff on people's faces. Right? Mama noticed. And Mama knew now is the moment. Now is the moment. Now, who even knows what Jesus was clued into? I don't know. Maybe Jesus was thinking, thank God we just ran out of wine. Right? Like, man, that was the right time to run out. Thank you, Father. Maybe he was thinking, man, Peter gets two more glasses in him, it's going to get wild up in here, right? Like Peter's going to start pulling his sword out and going crazy, and man, thank goodness we just cut Peter off. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Jesus' mind. But what I know is Mama's mind. And Mama's mind was for the family. And Mama's mind was for their embarrassment and not wanting for that for them, and she could maybe see it in the bridegroom's mom's face, and maybe in the bride's face. He didn't want embarrassment for the family, and he wanted the best for the kids, and she wanted this to be a great event for them, and for them to experience hospitality, right? Mama thinks, now is the time to concern myself with their problem. And for my son to concern himself with their problem. My son can help this. So for me personally, this is just me speaking, I think there's oftentimes a time and there is not a time to concern yourself. That's just my own observation. And so I want to close with this question. We're going to wrap this up. I usually ask for questions in the beginning. This time I'm asking for questions at the end, right? So here's my question to you. How do you determine yourself when the question is this a time or this is not the time? When you're trying to decide, do I help? How do you know this is the time, you personally? Yep, the Holy Spirit, God kind of directs, kind of have that unctioning. Anybody else? How do you know? Yeah, Anna. Yeah. Yeah, Anna said that, you know, sometimes there's individual things, but then sometimes corporately we have an awareness. And so when we corporately have this awareness, maybe that's a signal that it's time because we're all seeing this and something needs to be done about this. That's great. Anybody else? How do you know? This is the time, yeah.
If you'd actually be helping or if you'd actually be hindering the situation.
Yeah, actually helping or actually hindering the situation. And by hindering, you mean just making it worse.
Yeah, you're making it worse. You're not helping in any way.
Yeah, and enabling somewhat that challenge, right? When you're kind of enabling somebody's behavior, and if they don't suffer a consequence, and sometimes it doesn't get better. That's always hard to kind of figure out, is this that time or not? Anybody else? How do you kind of determine this is the time? Ask God about it. Yeah. When a thought keeps coming back to you, when it keeps coming back into your mind. Yeah, and some of us are slow processors like that, right? Some of us it's like, okay. Some of us are quicker processors. Some of us are slower processors. Okay, anything else? It's in your gut. When I very much, you know, in kind of personality teachings, it's like gut, head, and heart, kind of where we process things. And when it's in your gut, like that's a sign, yes, this is mine to do something about. Good. Okay, well, just this is do good month, right? This is do good month. We're trying to do good. And so continue to look for opportunities to do good. Look for your opportunity to do good. Look for those moments. This is the time for me to concern myself. And then act upon that. Advocacy, yes. And action, yes. And then we got Share Sunday, first weekend of February. Might be a great opportunity for you to share where you followed that gut. And you did good, and you helped out, and we want to hear from you on that. So, very good. Well, let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for Jesus' mama. And Lord, how she knew and how she directed. And Lord, we don't know if that was supposed to be the first sign or not, but as we read it now, it was the first sign. Because she encouraged her son to involve himself. Lord, this is always a hard decision for us in different moments to decide, is this the moment to involve myself? And so would you speak more loudly, more clearly to us, that each of us in this room during our week might know that if this is the moment where, Lord, you've called me to involve myself, to care about what's going on and to advocate and to help and to act. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.